Live from the Rose City, USA, it's AcmeCast number 255. I'm Steven.
Yeah, I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from the Comics Pro annual meeting in Portland, Oregon. And I apologize if the audio is a little roomy or anything like that. We were recording on the laptop's internal microphone for convenience. There is also not going to be any editing in this episode. We are going to finish recording, we are going to throw it online, and we are going to head down to breakfast in 40 minutes or less, because by the time this whole thing gets going, they really run you all day long. So, yeah, Pete, this is your first Comics Pro meeting. This is my third. What are your initial impressions of the way things are run, or just the overall experience?
I really liked it because you actually get to talk to the creators and the people behind the scenes making the comics, and actually hearing their plans coming up, and you kind of get like a behind the scenes look. It was really cool. I liked yesterday. It was a lot of information, a lot of moving around. But like today, I think they got us going from 8:30 to about 9:30 tonight, so it should be pretty cool.
And I guess last year was the first year that the meeting, trade show, convention, whatever you want to call it, was in Portland. And one of the two larger Portland-based publishers is Dark Horse Comics. And so Dark Horse was kind of like, well, we can't have Comics Pro in our backyard and miss out on the chance to have a larger presence at the meeting than what they had previously. So Thursdays were normally DC day all day long, if you can imagine that. We had 4 hours of DC programming yesterday. Imagine, you know, 6-8 hours of DC programming. But Dark Horse took over the morning session yesterday from 9:45 to 12:30. And I know most people, you know, just like DC knew yesterday, most people want to hear about their announcements, but I just figured it'd be easier to go through some of my notes in chronological order and not get too ahead of myself. So Dark Horse here, pretty cut and dry and easy. The first thing they did was they showed interior pages of Serenity that's going to be available for Free Comic Book Day with covers by Dan Dos Santos, I believe. And they said that that is not going to be the only Serenity comics that we get for the rest of the year. Saturday, June 4th, is going to be Dark Horse Day, celebrating 30 years of Dark Horse. And retailers, I guess there's 20 retailers that have a chance to win a Dark Horse pizza party. And also some incentives on the back end. Another themed day that they're getting to be a part of is Aliens Day, which is April 26th. They said that they're going to be retconning the continuity of Aliens to pre-Alien 3, so Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection, forget those ever happened, and they're going to go back to where their continuity was before that point, and those were their words as far as what they were doing. They used the word retconning the continuity.
Yeah, it felt like they're doing the whole Star Wars thing to their own books now. Like, instead of, like, you know, it's now legend. It's not so much those two movies exist. They're just, you know, they happen somewhere, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And they went into more detail on what they're going to be doing with the whole Aliens Predator, Alien vs. Predator, and Prometheus line. There's a new series coming out called Predator Life and Death that I believe starts in March.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the first part of another crossover similar to the Fire and Stone crossover that they did. But any of the research that they had on the reactions to Fire and Stone was that that happened too fast. They had four series going on over the course of 4 months with all the different franchises, and people felt overwhelmed or didn't know what order to read everything in. So for this next crossover, they're just going to take it one step at a time. So it's easier on your wallet, and it's also easier to understand the chronology of all the different stories. And then Dark Horse had a series of creators up there, but it was interesting that they weren't necessarily pitching any of their books. Like, when Faith Erin Hicks got up there, who's going to be writing the new Buffy the High School Years comic, and she also drew the Last of Us comic for them, she didn't say, like, oh, I love Buffy so much. This is my history with Buffy. She was talking about this is her history with comic shops, and this is what comic shops meant to her. And in particular for her, it was Strange Adventures in Halifax, Nova Scotia, which is the same store that Kate Leth, who is now writing Hellcat and Adventure Time and stuff, that was her store too. And that's where she worked too. So it's interesting that that one store created so much positivity in the comics community. And it's also had an impact on creators like Darwin Cook, who that's his store of choice, to the point where the owner of that store, Cal Johnston, is one of the characters in book 5 of the Parker score. Like, he was the photo reference for that character.
That's awesome.
So Faith Erin Hicks was up first with that. Then they went to a trailer showing World of Warcraft comics. I have no connection to World of Warcraft, but Dark Horse is obviously trying to beef up their video game line. They're leaning more into the Halo, the Tomb Raider, the Call of Duty that they've had success with recently.
They said, too, about the World of Warcraft, that if you were a gamer and you played the game, there's, like, a little bit of question about the history of the world. And they said that these comics will explain the history of the world and kind of lay it out to where you see what happened before the war on World of Warcraft started.
Yeah, well, they said it's, like, the definitive history or chronology, like you're saying, of, I think it was called Azeroth.
Azeroth, yeah.
That just made me think of Teen Titans and Raven and stuff. But that kind of got me excited because the video game product from Dark Horse that we've had the most success with is the Legend of Zelda Hyrule Historia, which was the definitive history of those games. So hopefully we can build on that success too. And then Gail Simone came up next, and very similar to Faith Erin Hicks, she was talking about growing up in a rural area or a smaller area where there was no comic book store, and the feeling of going into a comic book store for the first time and having the world of comics opened up to her. And then she announced a new creator-owned series, Wonderfall, with artist Walter Giovanni, who she worked with on Red Sonja for Dynamite, and she compared it to the Narnia books or Lord of the Rings, and said that this is going to be an all-ages series coming later this year. They put a pretty hard pitch throughout their session on their manga line, which we honestly don't stock a ton of. We don't carry the Oh My Goddess omnibuses or anything. We do the Lone Wolf and Cub stuff, but that's about it. But they were saying a new one that they're getting ready to put out is called I Am a Hero. And they said it's like the Walking Dead of Japan, but more twisted than anything that they do in that series.
The art for it they showed us was pretty freaky, and the trailer was awesome. If they put it online, I definitely suggest checking it out.
And Cullen Bunn and Tyler Crook, the creative team of Harrow County, was next up as far as their creators go. And Cullen Bunn, who is from North Carolina, talked about moving to St. Louis and meeting Brian Hurt, his co-creator on The Damned and Six Gun and tons of other stuff, while both working at the Fantasy Shop in St. Louis. And he announced his new series, Death Follows, which he said, even though Harrow County has, like, some redeeming qualities, Death Follows is just straight up, everything is terrible all the time. And he said it's like it's the neighboring county of Harrow County where everything is terrible.
He also told a funny story. A lot of people noticed that in his books, somebody crawls out from under a house, and he kind of gave a little bit of a story about when he was a kid, he went to his kitchen window, and he could just barely see over the window. And when he did, a guy crawled out from under his house, went to an apple tree, grabbed an apple, and crawled back under his house. And he said a lot of people always ask, like, what's with under the house thing? And it just freaked him out so bad that it shows up in his work.
And Cullen is also going to be taking over, I guess, after Conan the Avenger. He's going to be doing Conan the Slayer. And Tyler Crook, the thing that stuck with me about his talk is he talked about going to the grocery store to buy comics off of, like, spinner racks and off the periodical shelf. And that's what I used to do. I used to ride my bike to the Adams Farm Shopping Center in Jamestown to buy new X-Men comics at the grocery store, but he said he missed, like, the sixth issue of Longshot. Like, they had already cleared him off to be sent as returns. And so he just ran up to the produce lady in a panic, like, "You have to get it for me. You have to get it for me." And she went in the back and got it. And she said that she was, like, glad that he got to them before they stripped the covers off, because most magazines in most retailers, once they don't sell after a month, they tear the covers off and send them back to get credit for the ones that didn't sell. And he was, like, completely scandalized by that. And so he said, like, "Man, I'm glad you retailers don't do that. But we do."
Whoops.
And the biggest announcement, I think, to me and Pete especially, that they made was a release date for the Mobius Library that is going to be coming out from Dark Horse. So the first volume in the Mobius Library is going to be World of Adina, and it'll be out in October. It's going to be 344 pages for $49.99, and this is a story that'll be in English for the very first time, and they said they have all kinds of compilations and stuff, and then they're going to follow it up with an Art of Adina book as well.
Yeah, that's the only, they only gave us that one right now, but they said that they're working on more. They got a lot more coming out, but they couldn't announce anything yet. Kind of keep an eye out for the new announcements, but I'm really excited about this. Like, they have a lot of stuff to pull from the Mobius collections.
But at that price point of $49.99, it's not something that we're just going to be able to order. I mean, maybe 10 copies of tops, but we're not going to be able to order 20, 30 copies at once for people in hopes that they want to buy them. So if you have read the In Call, if you loved it, if you can't wait to read more Mobius, and if you're excited about starting your own Mobius library, that's something that you need to pre-order. And go ahead and do it now. Riley, Jermaine, Jay, Austin back at the shop, they'll be happy to create a subscription category for this. In fact, if they hear this, I'm sure they will already do it and put themselves on it. And then there's a new Dave McKean original graphic novel coming out called Black Dog. Dave McKean, probably best known for being the cover artist on The Sandman and doing
Cages
from Dark Horse as well, which they're doing, I think they said, a 25th anniversary collection for later this year. They also really pushed, as far as Neil Gaiman goes, How to Talk to Girls at Parties, which is a new, I believe it's an adaptation of a previous story of his that's going to be illustrated by Gabriel Bond, Fabio Moon from Day Tripper and Umbrella Academy. And that one's only going to be 64 pages, $14.99 in a hardcover, and there's a movie coming out for it starring Nicole Kidman, which I also didn't realize. This is something I kind of realized, even though $14.99 isn't a bad price point, and they've had success with it on, say, the Buffy original graphic novels or the Hellboy original graphic novels, it's also the kind of thing that at just 64 pages, like, DC would have just done that as a $5.99 prestige format square-bound comic.
Yeah.
And so it seems like you could probably hit a wider audience on it, but maybe they should have done it both ways or release it in that format later. Something to bring up at the Dark Horse Roundtables
today. There we go. Coming up later.
And then they're also going to be doing an adaptation of a Neil Gaiman story, Trollbridge, which is going to be illustrated by Colleen Duran, and that'll be out in September, 64 pages, $14.99 as well. And I think the final thing that I have on here is that Jeff Lemire's Black Hammer, which had already been solicited, at least the first issue, and was supposed to come out, kind of went the way of Black Beetle by Francesco Francavilla, where they solicited a second series and then never heard from it again. That book has been resolicited for July of this year. So, now to pull out the big guns. I have, let me see here, 4.5 pages of notes about the 4-hour DC presentation.
My phone was dying yesterday, and I hand wrote 4.5 pages as well of just notes on what they were saying. Some of the stuff coming out is I'm excited after going to that the presentation. I'm kind of excited to see what's going to happen next. But it's some of the stuff sounds like the same song and dance too.
Yeah, we were with our friend Kanan last night at dinner. I was saying it felt like DC screwed up the rollout of this. Like, it felt to me like they got confused between East Coast and West Coast time and when things were supposed to be rolled out, because DC wasn't going to talk about Rebirth until the afternoon session at 4:30. But then, like, 2 o'clock, 2:30 at the beginning of their session, they were like, all right, whatever, let's go right now. Like, Rebirth, we were going to save it till later, but let's do it. And so then Jermaine sent me a press release that was basically all of the information that they gave us. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, they screwed up. They found out they screwed up just in time, and they had to roll this out now. But the other frustrating thing about that was that as feverishly as we were both writing, that press release had almost word for word everything that we wrote down.
Yep.
But just starting at the beginning, they played a video with Geoff Johns specifically to the Comics Pro group, apologizing that he couldn't be there and saying that the idea of Rebirth for them goes back to Green Lantern Rebirth and where those characters were, and that it's not about destroying anything or Green Lantern or Flash, but I feel like they pushed Wally West aside pretty hard in Flash Rebirth, but that's not what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep the continuity of the New 52, bring back the continuity of pre-New 52, and then build from there. And I guess their main thing to take away is that they're reinvesting in their flagship characters and what makes those characters great.
And the one thing that Geoff Johns said that stuck with me was, like, the New 52 and all the stuff they're doing, his quote was, I love this world, but something is missing.
That is the opening line to the Rebirth one-shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he's like, these are characters we all love, characters we all care about, we're all invested in, but, like, right now it just feels like they're not what the core of what they should be is not there.
So he said that the beginnings of DC Rebirth number one are actually in Flashpoint number three. And they showed panels from Flashpoint number three that's where they're going to build this world. Like, maybe what happened in Flashpoint 4 and 5 that led to the New 52 was a misstep, and they need to wind it back. And everything is going to start in DC Rebirth number one, which is going to be out on May 25th. It is going to be 80 pages, all written by Geoff Johns, and it is going to be drawn by Gary Frank, Phil Jimenez, Ivan Hayes, and Ethan Van Sciver. 80 pages, $2.99. Sounds very similar to, because one of the other things that I had a note from Dan DiDio in here was that he said in his 14 years at DC, he was most excited in the build-up to Infinite Crisis and the launch of the New 52. And those are the two feelings that they're trying to bring together. So the build-up to Infinite Crisis started with the Brave New World one-shot, which was 80 pages for 99 cents. And Geoff Johns was also involved in writing. And all new number ones, which is what the New 52 was all about, even though it's not all being rolled out in the same month. But it was really a mea culpa from DC as far as what they've done. Dan DiDio said that the New 52 was a squandered opportunity.
Yeah, I kind of...
His quote, a squandered opportunity for DC. He said that they spread the net too wide with DCU last year, where they launched Cyborg and Grayson, and Gotham Academy, I think, was part of that, and Bizarro, and all of that. He said that they spread the net too wide, and they need to get back to the core comic audience. And so after that one shot, the backbone is going to be a renumbering of the entire line, the same continuity, but 17 titles are going to ship twice monthly. And I have written down here, and Pete, correct me if I'm wrong, those are Action Comics, Aquaman, Batman, Cyborg, Deathstroke, Detective Comics, Flash, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns, Harley Quinn, Justice League of America, Nightwing, Suicide Squad, Superman, and Wonder Woman.
Yep.
He said they're going to be putting out fewer titles overall, but they'll be double shipping all of those. And then he went off, and let me say that Dan DiDio especially got loud. At first I was like, he is too close to that microphone, but he was just raising his voice.
Yeah, I think he's getting passionate about it. And like the way, after he started talking about these books, it did seem like he was going louder and louder and louder. And then they pulled out a slide with a, like, saying, like, this is how much these are going to cost, like, da-da. And it was a $3.99. He said, like, that is too much for comic books. It's just too much. They slashed it and says, these new books are going to be $2.99.
And another quote from him was, $2.99 is the right price for our business. So, less popular characters, and the thing that everyone was harping on was Telos, which came out of the Convergence spinoff. That was the book that people were furious about for some reason.
Yeah, like people were, yeah, they were really upset about that. And they're like, you're not going to Telos this again. And like they're using it as a verb. It was.
Yeah, and so they were saying, Dan DiDio was saying he wished they could have, everyone wished they could have canceled Telos as number two.
Yeah.
But they had to see it out for an arc. So.
And it's one of those things too. He said, you have to respect the writer and the artist. Like they're working hard on this. No one wants to put out a bad comic book. But sometimes it just doesn't catch. And that was one of the ones that definitely did not catch.
So, less popular characters like Telos, like probably the characters from We Are Robin. Who else can you think of off the top of your head? There are going to be support in these main titles that you're going to be getting twice a month. And not specifically Telos, but they're just some characters that are not going to get their own book, much as you want it. They're going to remain support for other books. Probably even, you know, Robin, son of Batman. Robin will just be in Batman now.
Yeah.
So what else do I have here? People listening to this don't care about returnability.
Variants.
Yeah, every book is going to have an order all variant. Pete and I were saying, and the reason... So... We were going to record this last night. That press release came out. Everyone knows everything already as far as the news go. So we were like, there's no point in recording this. Plus, I was trying to read Star-Lord number 4, and I just fell asleep and dropped the book on my face. So it didn't really seem pertinent. But then this morning, I was saying, well, this is what I'm unclear about. This is what I need to talk through. There are going to be order all variants for every title. So, like the polybag variants, or this month with the Neil Adams covers, or the coloring book variants, there's no incentive. There's probably not going to be any markup most places that you go for those variants. They're going to be some kind of collage image by a single artist. But this is where Pete and I were unclear. We can't tell if they're saying it's going to be like a series of variants for a series showing an image of one character, or if it will be line wide every month.
Yeah, like we'll
like get every title that month and build the image.
Yeah.
That was kind of unclear. And then there's also going to be every month a 1 in 200 variant to one title. And that will be the only incentive. So for a given month, Batman will have a 1 in 200 variant. Then the next month, Superman will have a 1 in 200 variant that will be what they usually refer to in comics as a virgin version of that collage variant. It's very, very complicated on that point, and it almost seemed like when people called them out about it and its connection to returnability, they didn't even really know what they were saying anymore.
Yeah, it got like people were asking questions, or they just didn't know, and they had to, like, you know, to check with the home office type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like they were really excited to get the news out and just didn't really cross all the T's and dot the I's or something.
My note for that was already tripping over themselves, crowd turning. Because it really was like you could just hear the pitchforks coming out.
Rebirth, when it comes out with the new number ones, they're going to be Rebirth specials. And these are the ones that are going to come out in June.
Well...
Oh, okay.
Every Rebirth book, there will be Rebirth number one specials, but not necessarily every book that gets a Rebirth special will then get a series?
Yeah, that's the way I heard it too.
That was also where it got a little unclear and they started moving fast and things were color-coded. And it just got a little bit more complicated, but okay.
Like, for instance, one of the Rebirth specials, they have Batman, Aquaman, Flash, Green Arrow, Green Lanterns, Superman, Titans, and Wonder Woman. Titans was never mentioned, but that one time with the special. I think there's a Teen Titans book coming, but no Titans, just itself.
And then, there's no Green Lanterns. There's Green Lantern, and there's Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns, but there's no Green Lantern. For July, the titles are going to be Batgirl and the Birds of Prey, Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns, Hellblazer, Red Hood, Nightwing, Justice League, and I think that's
Super
all I have.
Sons.
Super Sons.
Yeah, one's called Super Sons.
You got August.
I just had it at the fall.
Okay. August is going to be Batman Beyond, Blue Beetle, Cyborg, Harley Quinn, Deathstroke, Earth 2, Suicide Squad, Supergirl, Teen Titans, and Trinity. And I guess we should also mention, if a book is a double shipping book, then the month that it has its Rebirth special, then it will also have the number one. So you'll get Batman Rebirth and Batman number one in June. You'll get Flash Rebirth and Flash number one in June. And then they're returning to the original numbering on their two longest running titles, Action Comics and Detective Comics. Action will return at 937 and Detective will return at 934.
Which, well, I thought that was pretty crazy because when they did the new 52, it was one of the things like, oh, forget the old numbering. We'll never do that again kind of thing. And here we are.
And then they've promised that these books are going to be 100% on time. They look to Batman and Robin Eternal and Earth 2 Society. And what else did they do last year?
The weeklies? Oh, God.
I don't remember what the other weekly was last year now. But they looked to those and they were like, well, even if you go back to 52 and Countdown and Trinity, and there was another one pre-New 52, I think.
Countdown 52. Oh.
It's fine. Yeah, but they were like, well, we have never missed a week on our weekly series, but we get off the rails scheduling on our monthlies. So why not basically make everything as weekly as possible? So the structure on the biweekly book is going to be a single writer with two artists with a backup team waiting in case one of those artists can't cut the mustard. And it sounded like if you miss your deadline, you're gone for good. Like that new team is in. And to show their dedication to that, Jim Lee is going to be drawing Suicide Squad. And he must be on time.
Yeah. And that made me think that they have a lot riding on that Suicide Squad movie to, like, start. That Jim Lee's only on the top books, usually. And it just, you know, Suicide Squad seems a little crazy for Jim Lee's talent.
I mean, with the movie coming out, though.
Yeah, it's going to be popular.
Also, DC is not going to be in the regular previews catalog in April. They are going to have a separate previews book similar to what Marvel does with all of their solicitations, and that is going to ship 2 weeks after the regular previews book because they're not announcing any of their titles until WonderCon in Anaheim. Some of the other stuff they kind of let slip here, Batgirl and Gotham Academy are going to get to keep going, I guess, with new number ones. Geoff Johns, so the way I understand it, is one of the reasons Arrow, Supergirl, Flash are so good is that Geoff Johns is the chief creative officer for DC, goes and talks to those writers, goes and talks to those actors, those showrunners, about what is at the heart of these characters and about what makes them great. And those are the values that they move forward in telling their stories. But that has meant that Geoff Johns, you know, obviously he is only writing Justice League right now. And moving forward, he's not going to be writing any monthly books for DC. He has kind of let the publishing side drift away. And so they brought him back and he has met with all of the writers for these titles individually about what makes the characters that they're going to be working on great. So even though he won't be doing them himself, he has had a hand in all of these new books.
Since they're just doing the double shipping on some of the titles, Dan did say that it will speed up the trade paperbacks because there has been like a little bit of a lag in trade paperbacks and hardcovers for DC lately. They said that hopefully that'll fix that.
At this point, I have a note, made it a whole 5.5 hours without someone mentioning digital comics and how they were going to be destroying the print industry or the brick and mortar industry. But I don't know. That just struck me because I feel like 5 years ago when I went to my first Comics Pro meeting, that was all anyone would talk about. That's when it wasn't even clear that Comixology was going to be the breakout platform and stuff, but everyone convinced everything was going to end at that point. And if you want diversity, if you want not necessarily the themes or the core continuity, then you'll have to read the Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl comics that tie into the TV show, the Hanna-Barbera line of books, which we'll talk about in just a second. There is going to be a main Supergirl title, which they said will match in tone with Batgirl, which I was excited about, but I have a note. Crowd not happy, want Supergirl Cosmic Adventures in the 8th grade, Supergirl TV, and core audience titles.
They got a lot of slack for not having a Supergirl comic when the show came out and not having something to put in customers' hands. I mean, there is stuff, but the show is a lot different than what normally was in the comics, like all the other shows.
And basically when people were getting upset and asking for specific books, Dan was saying the reason that DC is in the trouble they were in is we were reactive. We let people lead us by the nose, and they're now being proactive. And I have a note, very loud. And somebody said, like, well, what did we do as retailers to contribute to this problem as well? And Jim Lee said that he doesn't like the double standard with Marvel. Like, people were kind of groaning about there being all new number ones for DC, but they keep buying them from Marvel.
Yeah.
But the creative teams will actually not be announced until WonderCon, which will be a live stream on... I have the wrong date there. That's something else. But it'll be done as a live stream, so you know that we're going to have an event either at Acme or at Geeksboro, so you can sit there and watch. I hope it's almost like the NFL draft, where they like bring out new people or something like that. Or like the Grammys, where they're opening envelopes.
Or even like WrestleMania, when like the guys come out and the smoke flies up and yeah. The music playing, the two guys walk down the aisle.
And then I think that was it for that session. Just a couple quick notes, because it really was like, it just dragged from there. It wasn't as exciting. It wasn't as vibrant as we got into the other aspects. But they talked about the Hanna-Barbera line of books. Scooby-Doo Apocalypse is going to be out on May 25th. It is going to be an origin story. And I don't really even want to go as far as J. Jim Lee did, because he came up with the story with Keith Giffen, and he just told us everything.
Yeah, he pretty much told us, I guarantee it's at least the first trade worth of stuff.
Yeah. So, Scooby-Doo Apocalypse, May 25th, Future Quest, which is going to be the crossover with Space Ghost and Johnny Quest and a lot of the other adventure characters from Hanna-Barbera, is out May 18th, and I didn't realize the original story concept, because it's written by Jeff Parker, drawn by Doc Shaner, and the original idea was from Darwin Cook. Flintstones is out in June. It's going to have elements of social justice involved, and it's written by Mark Russell, who is the same writer as Prez. And Wacky Raceland will be out in June as well. It is, well, I say with that, that's the one they say is like Wacky Races meets Mad Max. And again, the crowd kind of turned when someone asked. So Jim Lee said, like, I love Scooby-Doo. My kids love Scooby-Doo. That's what we're getting back to. And someone was like, so these are all ages, right? And they were like, I would not show them to anyone under the age of 13. So all of these classic characters, not for kids. Again, one of the things Dan DiDio said that he hated was variant covers. And he was sick of talking about variants. He was sick of coming up with the theme variant months and stuff. The Hanna-Barbera books are all going to have at least four variants. There were actually five for Scooby-Doo and four for Future Quest, which they were rolling out first, each one spotlighting a different character. And I think the last thing they really talked about with comics was Dark Knight 3. Jim Lee looked pretty stressed out, saying that they were having troubles getting the book out on time. Frank Miller bumped Jim Lee off of the mini comic for issue 4, which Frank Miller is now drawing himself. And he also said he wanted to ink John Romita Jr. on the Prelude comic, so that's why that's delayed. And they're now going to be on a 6-week schedule for the remainders of the issues, and they will resolicit those to us.
They made some more announcements about Wonder Woman Earth 1, original graphic novel coming out by Grant Morrison. I'm really excited about that one. That is going to be no-nonsense Wonder Woman. They also talked about Wonder Woman True Amazon, which is going to be Jill Thompson writing and drawing, and it's all ages, which we're working over at Acme Comics Presents. I get a lot of questions for Wonder Woman comics for kids, and sounds like the one that's going to be perfect. The DC Superhero Girls is coming out July 6th, and that is also another title that is aimed directly at children using many of DC's female heroes and villains.
And I think the only other thing that people listening would really be interested in is some of the DC collectibles stuff. One of the things that I was kind of bummed about was for the Batmobile, they're actually reissuing it in a deluxe version that comes with Batman and Robin with cloth capes so that they're easier to fit down into the seats of the Batmobile, and also a light-up bat signal. But they said that they're going to be releasing that Batman and Robin and the bat signal as a pack later that'll be $70, basically the difference between just buying the Batmobile and buying the pack. So if you have already bought the Batmobile, you haven't missed out. Also along that, they reiterated all the releases from Toy Fair last week, and then we got to see the Batwing.
I got probably 5 pictures. I'll put them online later, like the good ones at least. There's probably two usable. But that was awesome. They showed the size of it. It has landing gear. It has a sliding cockpit you can put the character in. It lights up like the other ones. And I got excited when I saw the Toy Fair pictures of it. But seeing it in person, it is awesome. They also said they're going to try to make a wall mount to where you can hang it up on your wall. The one they made right now does not travel well, they said. And it just sounds like they busted it somewhere along the line. But they are trying to make something to where it will be displayable without taking up so much counter space.
And they said the price point on it is going to be, they hope, $150. It might be as much as $175, but it'll definitely be less than $200. And just the funny thing, one of the last things he said was he wants it to be the thing that if someone walks in to your house and you have this, they know, like, you are the serious, discerning Batman the Animated Series fan. And I'm like, I thought that's what my Batmobile was. Like, what are they going to do to then one-up this?
This there be has the to cave be, or something.
Yeah, it's got to be the Batcave playset to scale with the Batmobile and the Batwing in there.
You have to have a whole room for it. They also announced the DC Designer line. We all know about the Greg Capullo stuff. They have more coming out, which I'm really excited about. And they also have Amanda Connor. She's an artist on Harley Quinn. They showed us four different Harley Quinns coming out, like a Christmas Harley, a classic Harley. But those look really cool. I'm very excited about those as well.
And also, the baseline price for DC Directs is action figures is going up on May 1st. So if there's one that you've had your eye on, then you better get it now. Because from now on, anything new that comes out, anything that we have to reorder is going to be $28 instead of $25.
Yeah. And they also, they showed us some of the new, speaking of the Batman adventure stuff, I got really excited about this too. They showed a picture of the new Clayface coming out. They have, and it looks huge. It's awesome. It has different heads, different arms. And also they're working on more Arrow, Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow figures to come out for the television shows. So keep an eye out for those as well.
And I think that was about it for day one.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a lot. I have other notes, but like I said, they don't really affect you guys. I will probably get into more of it when I talk about actually having to order the Rebirth stuff as far as returnability goes and different incentives in the DC retailer program, but for now it's just not as pertinent for what you guys need to know. I think this morning it's Titan and Dynamite and Action Lab maybe. Marvel is going after the first workshop, I believe, around 10:45. I really don't expect anything just from my experiences in the past on the level of what we got from DC or even Dark Horse. There's no rumblings or anything like that. And yeah, I don't know. A lot of round tables today.
Yeah. It'd be cool to, like, we're going to talk to a bunch of other store owners and retailers and stuff and kind of hopefully find some good ideas and different things we could try and hopefully learn something today.
And people have really been waiting to hear about the food we've been eating. I got here a day before Pete. I went to the Devil Dill, which was a sandwich shop in East Portland as soon as I got here. I went to the original Hot Cake House, which had the best bacon I've ever had, on Wednesday morning. Wednesday night, I went to a Mexican place called Por Que No, which translates to why not. It was delicious. I had kind of an authentic version of a Chipotle burrito bowl. And then yesterday morning, Pete and I walked over to the infamous Voodoo Donuts, had a variety of sugary concoctions for breakfast. And last night we went to a place that, I mean, it seemed like the kind of thing that should be just a hole-in-the-wall barbecue joint in North Carolina, yet it is all the way across the country. It's called the People's Pig. I think you just had the smoked fried chicken.
Yes. Chicken that was smoked and then fried.
It was pretty epic. And then, and I don't use that word all the time, but it was epic. And then I got ribs there, black-eyed peas. You had some kind of macaroni and cheese and macaroni salad.
It was like spicy macaroni and cheese. It had like, I felt like red peppers or something in there that was really good. And then, it was like a mashed potatoes with different kind of seasonings, and it was really good. I was pretty impressed.
Yep. So that's about it. I guess Pete and I are supposed to be holding a press conference of some kind on Wednesday at 10 a.m. to share the rest of our findings from Comics Pro and maybe go into some more details and answer any questions that you have. So join the Dawn Patrol at Acme for new release day next week if you want to hear that. And otherwise, we're going to breakfast. I guess I should go through this spiel just because I do. While you're waiting on the press conference, you can find us online at facebook.com/acmegreensboro, on Tumblr at acmecomics.tumblr.com and on Twitter at acmecomics. You can see our calendar of events updated with new convention appearances on our website at acmecomics.com, and you can hear this episode as well as all the episodes emanating from the Acme Wave Projector at acmewaveprojector.com.